Today is our third session in speaking on, finances, where I've got an appeal towards grace preachers all over the world that watches and looks into my messages and what I've got to say. I've got an appeal. If you haven't listened to this and you only see this is a third session, you can go onto my website and I will also include a link here towards those or where those messages are archived. And please go and listen to it. I've got an appeal towards grace preachers to get free from one of the greatest bondages that there is in the church, and that is the tithing, sowing, reaping message, and not just the message, the whole attitude of just trying to gain, trying to have more, getting into that works orientation that kills our people. As grace preachers, we are supposed to be free people. We are a people that is supposed to walk as if we have a father. We are supposed to walk like people that are walking in the freedom and in the liberty of God. But I find that a lot of grace people get free from a lot of law areas in their life and believe in the message of grace. But when it comes to finances, it is still the old death message of tithing, sowing and reaping, and a conditional gospel. And I don't want to say, like I said in the previous session, I don't want to say I'm a teacher of teachers or anything. And this is just a thing that's in my heart that I want to just come and lay before you. And I want to just challenge you to go and think along the lines of freedom. Go and think along the lines of what God has done in Jesus when it comes to finances. Let's be honest with each other. If we don't apply Jesus to finances, we have not applied the Word of God to finances. If the same satisfaction that we get from declaring people innocent, declaring people's sins are forgiven, declaring to them that they don't have to work to be righteous, declaring to them that the righteousness of God belongs to them, setting them free from guilt, if that emotion is not, if you don't have that satisfaction and joy when you talk about money, obviously you don't have the same foundation and you're not speaking the truth. Maybe you wanted to get free from this for a very long time now, and maybe this challenge will just be what you need to get free from that. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the character of a leader, the character of a leader when it comes to finances. Now, I want to look at the Apostle Paul. You know, there are so many verses, and I mean, you're a pastor, you've got all the programs and everything. You can just type in covetousness and whatever, and you can go and make a much deeper study and preach it more in detail. But I just want to use two scriptures in the Bible. The one is in 2 Corinthians 12, the other one is in 1 Timothy 6, and speak a little bit about the character of a leader. We must realize that our people look at us. People all over the world look at us. Now, last night, I was watching Christian television, and in the whole evening, there was two messages of grace, one on a South African station preaching in Afrikaans, and Dr. Eloff preached a wonderful grace message there, and the other one was on Daystar and was Joseph Prince that preached there. Other than that, there was no grace that I saw in that hour or two that I was there, just flipping through the channels. What I did see was another big station, and they had this money rally on there. My goodness, you know. They speak like people that has got no God. They speak like a people that does not know that they've inherited all things. They speak like a person where money is their God. At that moment, when I was looking through the channels, there was four channels where they were just speaking on money. And what they said was, they were beggars, begging on television. And I want to come and plead with grace preachers. We've got a father. We've got the knowledge of our inheritance. It doesn't fit for us to place ourselves in the category of those who live as if they've got no knowledge of Christ. We are not alienated from Christ through wicked works. We have come to a place where we've come to the knowledge of what Christ has done. And I want to appeal to you to make use of that knowledge in the area of finances. Maybe it will be a big thing for you to stand up one day and come to your congregation, or maybe in the beginning just to the leaders, and tell them, listen, man, I've got a new take on finances and I'm going to share it with you, and God will give you the strategy on how to bring it over to your leaders and how to have it implemented in the church. Now, make sure that you don't just listen to one or two of these sessions and just go and blast off in the church. You can hurt a lot of people. There's a lot of things you need to understand concerning finances before you can just go to the church and just, well, I've got a new revelation. You can confuse people. We must realize, as leaders, our calling is to minister the ministration of reconciliation, and then, according to Hebrews, to watch out over the souls of people. That means we must watch out, what do they think, what's in their mind, what is in their will, and what is in their emotions. Now, we know, like I said yesterday on the web, that the correction of God is painful. Not because of hard times, but because our belief is addressed. And when we realize that our belief is wrong, I mean, you cannot cut somebody deeper than addressing his belief and telling him that his belief is not in line with the very belief of God. So when we stand in front of our congregations, man, we go there with tenderness, we go there with compassion, we go there with love, knowing that the people will feel what we feel when they get confronted, and know that the people can easily take your integrity into question, thinking, why did you deceive us, and all those kind of things. So there's a way in which we will do this, and I'll make the sessions as the Holy Spirit leads me and put it on my heart. But let's go quickly and we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 here. Talks about Paul. Paul, was involved in the planting of the church here in Corinth. He was the apostle to them. Other apostles came afterwards. Many people came and said that Paul was just in this thing for the money. And he writes in his defense. He's defending himself, saying that it was not like that. And let's just look at what he wrote here. He says, and I think out of this, we can truly see the heart of a father, the heart of somebody that loves the congregation, that loves the people. As leaders, I want to tell you, we are not called to build ministries. We are not called to do that. We are number one called to be loved by God, and we are the object on which He bestows His love. And from there, from that outflow of absolute love that we receive, we are to build people. Not ministries, but build people in the gospel of grace. Amen. Now, let's go there to verse 12. It says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you, in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. So he says, I was very patient. I came there with signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. So he says there that other churches did give, and other churches did come and give their money to Paul, and he used the money. But when it came to the church in Corinth, because they were a rich church, money was an issue to them. Most of the time I find that money is a bigger issue to rich people than to poor people. I've seen that many times. I remember, even in my own life I've seen it. When I had no money, I didn't care to give money away. But the moment you get money, you get so concerned with how to keep what you've got, and how to make it last very long, because you'd never want to be poor again, that you've got a big issue with finances. You will not find, even poor people, a lot of poor people, that's why they're so gullible for this message of manipulation and control, because they're not that much worried about finances. They've got nothing anyways. Like one of my friends came to me yesterday and he said to me, when I started out in my business, I put everything on the line to do one deal. And if it wouldn't go through, I would lose everything. But now that the business is big, I cannot use that same courage anymore, because I've got so much to lose now. So here Paul comes, and there were people that were so, this Corinthian church, they were accusing him of taking money from them and stuff. And here he comes and he writes in his defense, he says, listen, I never even took anything from you. There were other churches that did give to me, and we know the church in Philippi gave. And the way they gave was by free will. Paul not even desiring anything from them. They just gave out of free will. Okay, now, with that in mind, let's read on. It says, behold, and he's sarcastic here. He says, listen, I didn't burden you in any way. Forgive me this wrong. Because other people were a burden to the church there, and then they honored their word. And I see it today as well, you know. And I'm not complaining, I'm just seeing this. You can find, I will come to a church and I will not ask anything, and I will just preach the love of God, loving the people, sharing the grace of God, and people will say, yes, amen, hallelujah, and I will leave. And then somebody else will come and, man, milk them for money, put the law upon them, and they'll celebrate him, you know, to the greatest degree. Man, I don't understand that. Doesn't make sense. Maybe people are so used to be beaten up that they can't live without it. Right, verse 14. Behold, the third time I come, ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. Listen to what he says here. This is people that accused him from stealing money, or taking, not stealing, but just taking money, being in the thing for money. He said, I never asked you anything, and this is my attitude towards you. And that was his attitude towards all churches, that I want you, and I don't want your stuff. I'll tell you, man, Paul called himself a father. And if we as grace preachers, when you preach grace in your community, man, you're the father of grace there. You're the one that brings grace there, because there are not many people that preach grace. And look at the father heart of Paul towards people here. He says, man, I'm not here to want what you have. I'm here for you. I'm not here for what you can give to me. And I want to tell you, man, I don't want to live as a judge and be a judge. But just to be honest, I see grace preachers preaching with a purpose to get money from people. We don't want that attitude in churches. We don't want that attitude around us. It stinks. It doesn't belong with us. We're not that kind. We've got a Father that cares for us. We've got a gospel that will work generosity in the hearts of people, that we don't even have to think of those things, but that God will bring it forth in the hearts of people, and that people will obey the nature of generosity that gets released as we minister the truth unto them. Hallelujah. And we can teach our people in that as well, and I will also talk about that sometime. It says, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. My goodness. Look at the attitude of Paul. And I believe as grace preachers, standing under the very influence of God, this is what is supposed to be the attitude in our hearts. We cannot come like the old name it and claim it, mark it and park it, grab it and run with it kind of a preacher, which has got one thing in his mind, that is the law and the law system, and to get rich out of the people, to fleece the people, you know. We cannot do that. That doesn't belong with us. It doesn't belong in the circles of grace people. That talk doesn't even belong there. I want to say it should not even be mentioned among us. You know? And listen to what he says his attitude is here. His attitude was not to get anything from them. He says, for it's not right for the children to lay up for the parent, but for the parent to give to the children. Now, I have not heard that being preached a lot. But I tell you, as a grace preacher and a preacher of the love of God, this is the fruit of the gospel in our life. And I know that as a grace preacher, as you've been studying out grace and the unconditional love of God, the Holy Spirit's already been prompting these things inside your heart. And I've got this appeal. Give over to the prompting of the Spirit. I want to say, like Jesus said to Paul, is it hard to kick against the pricks or the goads? That word goad there is the prodding of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, pointing us into a certain direction. Right, let's read on. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. So what he said here, he came and caught them with something that was in them and brought the gospel to them. And he was not a burden for them. And he will not be a burden on them at all. And listen to his attitude. I will gladly spend and be spent for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't that awesome? He will gladly spend and be spent for people. And I believe as grace preachers, having the true love of God in us, we will gladly spend and be spent for our people. And we will not gladly see how they spend on us so they can spend for us. Now, I'm not against giving. I want to just say this. I'm not against giving. I'm not against true generosity born from a person's heart. The Bible says that a preacher does have the right to eat off the gospel, meaning that if people come with generosity in their heart out of a free will and want to give, we do have the liberty to make use of that. That's the right we have, to make use of what is given out of liberality. Not to make a demand. We've got no right to make any demand. That is such a wrong interpretation of the verse where it says we've got a right, but we've not have not made use of the right. So Paul says, well, I've got a right to take from you. You must give to me. That is not the heart portrayed by the Apostle Paul. Loving people. A heart born from Jesus, born from the gospel. No, he had this. He said, I had a right to make use if people want to give to me freely. But he never made use of what people freely gave him in Corinth. But he did make use of it in Philippi, when the Philippian church sent to them. So there's a place where you can make use of it. So that's the one thing. And let's quickly go to Timothy. Timothy, maybe I should have made two sessions, but let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I hope I find it quickly. Yes, here it is. This is good advice to a grace preacher. Timothy was a preacher of the grace message. Paul said, I don't have many that are like-minded that believe what I believe, only Timothy. Now imagine you're at the age of 60 or 70 in your ministry and you've preached all over the world and you come to the end of your ministry, you say, well, I've only got Timothy that believes, a 14-year-old child that believes what I believe. You know, he was not swayed by what people thought of his ministry. He was not swayed by how many people believed what he believed. The truth was revealed to him by Jesus appearing to him and by the Holy Spirit revealing the grace message to him. And that is what is supposed to be in our hearts. And that's supposed to be the attitude as well. If we're poor or rich, doesn't matter. We believe the truth because it is the truth. Right, let's read the attitude that Paul has and what he teaches Timothy. It says here, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is doubting about questions and strife and words, whereof comes envy, strife, railings, evil submersings, man, these are big English words, perverse disputes of men, of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Listen to this. Supposing that financial gain is godliness. From such withdraw yourself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, Pastor, in your heart there's such a prompting by the Holy Spirit as a grace preacher to just be content with what you have and to stop to chase the bigger is better mentality. You can give over to that. You can yield to that. And that is not called the comfort zone. That is called the life God intended for you. To be happy with what you have. To be happy in the journey. I want to tell you, I'm happy with the car I have. I'm happy with the house I have. I mean, I tell you, I know I'm not going to drive the car I have now, although it's a very nice car, for the rest of my life. I just know my God. He always provides for me. But for me to preach at congregations to get another car, my goodness, man, that is not contentment. Here he says that godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world and is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Why should we be content with such little things? So that we can have an attitude of we are very rich, because all of us has got more than clothes and raiment. So as a preacher, I'm sure you've got more than just clothes and food. You've got a place where you stay and everything. So now you can be conscious of the abundance in your life and not lack. Because under the old system of tithing, sowing, reaping, put seed in the ground to get more, that whole attitude, you were just conscious of what the other pastor has all the time. And you were thinking, how am I going to get that from my congregation? Right. For we brought nothing in this world, and certainly we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothes, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich or want to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drawn men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of evil. Now, what does he say is the love of money here? They that want to be rich. Now, I'm not into a poverty mentality. Man, I live in a very nice house. I've got a house next door as well where my office is. I've got a nice studio here. I live a good life. But I want to say this. I don't want more. I don't live. I know more will come. I know generosity is in the hearts of people. But my vision is not how can I just expand and get bigger and bigger and bigger all the time. I just live with a contentment in my heart and do what comes naturally. It's not I want to be rich. I am rich. I've had this attitude when I had a house and the cracks in the wall were so big that the grass grew on the inside of the house. And I want to just show you the way of peace. Amen. Now it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after or wanted more money, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, whereunto you art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Well, that's what I want to say. And I mean, you can just, as a pastor, go and read that. Read 1 Timothy 6 from verse 10. Read it and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. And we will be a free people. It cannot, the attitude that's in the world, that's worldliness. Of chasing after stuff all the time, preaching a conditional gospel in the area of money, it doesn't fit a grace preacher. Hallelujah. God bless you. Know this, that you're deeply loved by God, and that He cares for you in a great way, and that you can always enjoy the security of His love for you. Amen.